This is Transformation Church Podcast. Here at TC, we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Y'all ready? All right, let's go. I'm going right in, okay? So I need everybody to get this. Most people would ask, why is it important to forgive? Most people would ask, why is it that big of a deal to forgive? Let me give you point number one, because I've gotten this in the DMs and a lot of people that are watching, and y'all are watching from everywhere. Type in the chat where you're watching from, because I've seen people. There's Mississippi in the building. We got Minnesota in the building. Hold on, we got Montana in the building. All the M's, I don't know, okay? Come on, all in the chats is just a bunch of FUs. That's crazy. But the reason why this is important is because, write this point down, forgiveness is fundamental to our faith. Forgiveness is fundamental to our faith. Just say it one more time with me. Forgiveness is what? Fundamental to our faith. Now, the reason I had to bring this very basic point to you is because a lot of people don't appreciate fundamentals. Like, anytime you talk about something that's a fundamental, the literal word means something that is a core or primary rule, a principle, something which everything else is based on. So let me help you understand that the coldest person on the basketball court that can dribble between the legs and do all this other stuff and fade away and all that other stuff, all of the extra comes from a fundamental. And there's many people in the church that want all the extra. We want the signs, the miracles, and the wonders. We want to be able to manage a bunch. We want to be an example and a leader. And God says, but you ain't got no fundamentals. And the thing about fundamentals that everybody has to understand is that when the pressure is on, when there's the game on the line, when you forget all the fancy stuff, the thing that you rely on and you go back to is the fundamentals. And the reason why 2020 has been whooping some of y'all's tail is because there was no fundamentals there to begin with. You would post your scripture, but there was nothing that it was written on your heart. It was posted. Y'all don't hear me. It was posted, and you may got a tattoo of it, but you don't even know what your own tattoo says, because there was no fundamentals. And when I come into this life with Christ, there are some things that are fundamental. Prayer is fundamental. Worship is fundamental. Generosity is fundamental. You cannot talk about how much you love God, but you never give anything. You never give time. You never give your talent. You never give your treasure. God's saying, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. It is fundamental. And the other thing that's fundamental that the church is silent on many times, because the pastors are walking in the same level of unforgiveness as the people that they lead, is forgiveness. Somebody say, forgiveness is fundamental to our faith. Let me give a practical example. Can you bring that real quick? Ever since I was 2 years old, I've been playing drums, okay? And I started out very young playing drums. My mom and dad are sitting right here, and they got me my first drum set when I was how old? A year and a half old is what my mama said. I don't even know if I could really talk for real at a year and a half, but she said I asked for a drum set. And I have pictures and proof that I used to play drums. Well, from the time I was 2 to the time I was 12, I got pretty good naturally, okay? So, like, I would sit down and I had a knack. I had a gift that was given to me. And when I got 12, I, like, hit this ceiling. And I remember going and asking our minister of music. My dad actually did. The minister of music at the church I attended at the time, David Smith. Shout out to everybody who used to go to Higher D. What up? And he said, you need to go take lessons from this guy named Arthur Thompson. And I went to Arthur Thompson downtown on Denver, and we went down into this dungeon, and he had all of these drums and all of this stuff. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm about to show this man what I can do. And he sat me down and he listened to me play, and he was like, you're really good. He said, for the next 6 months, we're going to work on the fundamentals. And at that time, at 12 years old, I didn't really have a grasp of what the word fundamentals mean. I thought it meant fun, because I heard fun, the mentals. We're going to work on the fun of playing drums. Like, literally, I didn't know what it meant. And he was like, I said, so what do I need to do? He said, we're taking the drum set away from you. We're not going to let you do all of the licks and all of the things and have all of these things to hit. He said, I'm going to give you the snare. And so he gave me the snare. And I was like, cool. I can rock the snare. Is this a challenge? Because if it's the challenge to see how much I can do with the snare, boy, I'm about to tear the snare up. And then he put a pillow on top of the snare. And he said, you will not hit a drum for the next 6 months. We need to work on the fundamentals. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, you need to do these things called rudiments. And if you've ever seen Drumline or any of those movies, that's the thing they always are practicing. He was like, yeah, I'm going to teach you how to do a double stroke roll. And I was like, cool, I can do a double stroke roll. And he was like, you're going to go right, right, left, left, right, right, left, left. I was like, is that it? This the fundamentals? And I was like, easy. Ba, 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 ba. Like, I was so prideful because I had done so much before, but I didn't have the fundamentals. And he said, that's where you start. But he said, now I want you to speed it up. And he put a metronome on. And he started making me go. And what I realized at this point when I was doing the fundamentals, that there was no bounce from the drum anymore. The reason he put me on the pillow is because every one of these strokes had to be me. Every one of these, I felt him like, why is my wrist burning right now? Why is this? He said, because what you've been doing is trying to get it to sound good on things that enhance what you're doing. But when you take it to the bare minimum, what does it look like? What does it sound like? And I bring that to your faith right now. If you strip away the lights, if you strip away your favorite worship song, if you strip away your small group, what does your walk with God sound like? Does it have any ability to last? Does it have any endurance? Is it even? And he began to say, until you get the fundamentals. And then he started switching it up. He said, we're going to do a paradiddle. I said, a para what? He said, a paradiddle. He said, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left, right, left. I said, okay. And then he said, keep going. Five minutes. Nothing but the pillow and fundamentals. 6 months of fundamentals. Then he put me on the drum set and he said, play. And I said, play what? I ain't been on the drum set so long, I don't even remember how to play. And that's what we feel like a lot of times when God trains us in a different environment. And then he gives us an opportunity or tells us somewhere to be. It's like, I don't even know how to do this. And as soon as I sat on the drums and I begin to play, it was like the whole drum set opened up to me in a brand new way. Because what I did in private on a pillow, when everything was stripped away, it then began to give me tools to be able to do what was in my head. It came out in my hands. And I began to move, and I'm sitting there like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm doing stuff I've never done. And he said, see? He said, everything that's fancy comes from fundamentals. And I just came to tell somebody the reason why we got to understand forgiveness, the reason that we have to have a passion and a burden to work on our offenses, because this is a fundamental premise of our faith. And God says everything that's fancy, everything that the world will see, everything that people will know you for, it will come from, everybody say, fundamentals. And forgiveness is a fundamental of our faith. The thing that I had to realize about fundamentals, and I'm going somewhere with this, I need you to stay with me, class. This is week two. You made it back, so you're ones that are going to ace this class, and some of y'all are going to be the valedictorian. Do I got any valedictorians in the building right now? Come on. Here we go. The thing I learned about fundamentals, check this out. Fundamentals are never natural. You don't naturally do the fundamentals. Fundamentals are, write this down, they're practiced, they're corrected, and then they are perfected. Any fundamental of your life, when I was on that pillow, it was practiced, and then he would come over and be like, lift your arm up right there. You need to be using your finger some more. It was corrected, and then it was perfected. I don't know why in church we act like you get saved and then everything's perfected. I'm sorry for everybody who's had an experience that it was like, you got saved today. Now speak in tongues tomorrow. Now preach your message on the next day and do this and start. No, that's not real. There are some core fundamentals that we may be working on for the next 3 years. I know nobody wants to hear this because in our culture, we want everything to be sped up. We want to be this overnight sensation. And God says, if you want to last, you need the fundamentals. And fundamentals are practiced, they're corrected, and then they are perfected. And when it comes to this thing of forgiveness, I want to let you know why we're doing 10 weeks. And just by the end of this series, some of y'all are just going to decide to start practicing. Because it's been 25 years of offense. It's been 10 days that you haven't talked to your spouse in a loving way. It's been so long since you've even thought about going back to that high school. You don't even go back to your 10-year reunion because you don't want to see that coach who told you that you would never be able to amount to something. And still, that same offense is now affecting your heart with unforgiveness today. And what I'm telling you is, I'm not asking you to change today or tomorrow. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, I pray you get a miracle. I pray that he speeds up things. I pray that there's a breakthrough that happens for you. But I want to let everybody know that it's going to have to take a journey to forgiveness. You're okay. You're okay to have to walk this thing out. Because the fundamentals, if forgiveness is a fundamental of our faith, fundamentals are what? Practiced, corrected, and then perfect it. God's gonna have to correct some of the way we forgive people. Y'all ever forgave somebody on the surface, but you ain't really forgive them? Come on, like we'll make a whole Instagram post about how some friendships, they come and they go, but some friendships last forever. And this is a friendship that'll last forever. You was just talking about them yesterday. And God's like, no. Before you make a public post, let it be a private promise. He might have to come in and correct it. But I promise you, if you stay on this journey of forgiveness, it will be something that will become perfected in you. Somebody say, perfect me, Lord. Come on, somebody say, perfect me, Lord. That's why at Transformation Church, it is one of our values that we are never enamored with perfection. It is all about what? Progression. Because once we learn the fundamentals, once I learned how to do the basic things, I was able to go to other levels that were capped for me. And this is the year that God's saying, you want to be able to go to that level? I need you to learn the fundamentals. You want to be able to lead millions? I need you to be able to get the fundamentals. And so I need everybody to understand that our feelings make us forfeit the fundamentals sometimes. How we feel about it. Can I tell you that there were tons of days that I punched, kicked, cussed in the pillow I was practicing on. Wow. Oh, this is not cool. All my other friends get to post where they travel. Wow. All the people in my family are married. Like, and God's saying, but I have you in a season of fundamentals. And sometimes our feelings make us forfeit what we really need. But God is saying, will you just commit to forgiveness? And that's why forgiveness is the goal, but I want us to get an understanding. And the understandings might take a minute for us to get. And that's why if forgiveness is the end thing that we want to get to, I got to dial it all the way back in this class to the very beginning. Because write this down. I said it last week, but it's worth mentioning again. Offense is the gateway to unforgiveness. I had a whole nother message ready to go, didn't I, Charles? And the Holy Spirit said, Mike, they didn't understand the offense thing fully. They didn't really get how offense is creating a prison of unforgiveness for them. And if they don't learn how to deal with the offense at the moment, they will wind up in a place, in a space that they never thought was possible for them to get in. And God says we need to understand that if unforgiveness is the place we don't want to be, we have to start with the offense. Because offense is either picked up or put on. But I went deeper than that this week, and I said, God, could you show me why it's so hard? Because I'm scrolling on Facebook and Instagram, and somebody finds out that the president has corona, and somebody's comment is like, that's what he get. What? As a believer, now I can understand people in the world. Like, I don't agree with everything that he does, and there's a lot of stuff that is very questionable. But somebody falls sick, and you say that's what they get? Wow. Sound like a curse to me. And I think my Bible says blessing and cursing are coming out of this same tongue, that unstableness. At the moment, I'm like, what is going on? Where I can be offended by so many little things. And this is what the Holy Spirit told me. And if you don't hear anything else I say today, you need to get this, because there's a parallel that is happening in the world and in the church that there should be a difference, but it's looking a little bit like the same. Like there's this lukewarm, like I can believe God, but I can cuss you out and F you up and doing, I'm like, woo, where is all of this coming from? And the Holy Spirit told me, Michael, offense is the currency of our culture, but forgiveness is the currency of the kingdom. Oh, that's good. The currency of our culture is offense. That's why we can cancel somebody after one mistake. That's why if they do the wrong thing or wear fur and I'm for PETA and all this, like we be canceling people for all kind of stuff. Like, and God says, but Michael, don't be surprised. Offense is the currency of our culture. It's how people make money. Do y'all know people will see something and they look for the controversial thing so that they can promote that instead of all the good that happens? Because offense, and guess who buys it? Us. We're the one that clicks on the things that we shouldn't really want to watch, but they got the most views. So what are we teaching people to do? Do more of that. Be more offensive. Go a little more lewd. Show a little more chest. Go a little deeper. Try it. And what we do is we become offended, and God says, that's going to continue to happen. But for everybody who calls me king, we have a kingdom. And the currency of the kingdom of God is forgiveness. And this is not a new situation. Look at John 18:36. Jesus is talking to the disciples. This is him speaking. This is read in your Bible. It says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. What I'm doing don't look nothing like what's happening on TMZ. Don't have nothing to do with what's happening on the Shade Room. Like, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. Matter of fact, if it were, my followers, my goons, my gangsters would have effed y'all up, and they would have fought you to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. He was saying, if we was like y'all, if we responded how culture responds, it would be riots in the street. I hear, no, give you buck. No, just imagine all the disciples coming out like, you hear what I'm saying? But the reason that Jesus said our response is not the same is because we don't belong to your kingdom. And somebody needs to hear me say this very distinctly, because what you want, what everybody wants, is they want heavenly rewards with earthly responses. They want heavenly rewards with earthly responses. And Jesus says, that's not how it works. He said, but my kingdom, again, is not of this world. And that's why we have to understand that forgiveness and offense, we have to learn about these two things so that they are not so easily swaying how we live our life. Because y'all know that no matter what we deal with internally, we still have an enemy. And the enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, he has an agenda for your life. Let me help you understand this. And I heard Pastor Stephen say it, and I've tweaked it a little bit, and I want you to see it. He said the enemy's agenda is destruction. Write this down. I'm giving you the cheat code to being able to defeat the enemy. The enemy's agenda is destruction. John 10:10 says that he comes to do nothing. Like, he don't have another assignment but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy our families, destroy our purpose, destroy our faith, our hope. That is his agenda. But his strategy is division. Now, I need you to hear me say this, because every team that faces each other has the agenda of winning. Okay, so like if I'm playing basketball against another team, everybody wants to win. That's the agenda. But the difference between winners and losers are strategy. And what you try to do about your opponent is learn their strategy. And many people do not know the strategy of the enemy for your life. And I'm going to tell you today, his strategy is division. All the way back to the garden. Remember, we never see the devil until it's Adam and Eve. When Adam was just there, where the devil? But at the moment, unity came into the picture. That's why he's fighting your marriage so hard. That's why he's fighting you and your children so hard. That's why he's fighting you and your business partner so hard. Because where there is unity, the Bible says there's a commanded blessing. So what would be the enemy's strategy to win? Let me divide them. Let me make that husband become more in love with video games than his wife. Let me let that wife come more in love with their kids than the husband of the children. Let me divide the church by making them Democrat and Republican. Oh, y'all didn't think I was gonna talk about it? Let me go ahead and divide the bride of Christ by making it black church and white church and Hispanic church and Asian church. Yeah. Let's let them feel good because it's all of them, but I'm winning in the background because my strategy was division. And that's why at Transformation Church, I don't care where you come from, the staff, the team, everybody, white, black, I don't even know no other colors, red, green, tall, short, big, I don't care where you are at. If you breathe and you're God's creation, you are called to be a part of this, because even if we do not like the same music, and even if we don't vote the same, and even if I like fried chicken with hot sauce, and you like pumpkin pie instead of sweet potato pie, all I'm telling you is that God said that we are family. And if we fight for unity, y'all better help me right now. If we fight for unity, then we defeat the strategy of the enemy. So if the agenda is destruction and the strategy is division, there's a tactic. See, this is the difference between people who just like to play and people who ball is life. Like everybody's agenda is to win. And people have a strategy to be able to stop the best player. But then there's tactics. What I do in every interaction to be able to throw them off their game? What are the things that I always make happen? And the enemy's tactic is offense. So I'm trying to give you the whole playbook. His agenda, destruction. His strategy is what? Division. But his tactic is what? Offense. And I know many of us would be like, well, dang, if people wouldn't just offend me, then I wouldn't be offended, Pastor Mike. But in this world, like, you don't get to live without people. Even the disciples were talking about this because they were in an age kind of like we're living in right now. Matthew 24, verse 10. He said, this Jesus, and then shall many be what? Offended. Like, people gonna be offended. When I post this message, I don't even understand. Like, I can get up on Sunday morning and say, everybody is loved and Jesus is good and I'm sending everybody $100. And on YouTube, during the week, there'll be 30 lunatics that are like, thumbs down. Thumbs down. Who are you? And why do you put thumbs down on good things? This is good news. But they're like, I love you. Thumbs down. Because it may have been the jacket that I wore. It offended somebody. It may have been, why would you spend all of this money on LED screens and there's homeless people out there and da, 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 da. They will make up a reason to be offended. Wow. You don't even know what we did for the homeless community this week. But if you don't know, you'll make up a reason to be offended. Wow. Ah! And that's why Jesus is telling us, let me give you a cheat sheet. A lot of people are going to be offended. He said, but I need you to understand why it's important that you don't be offended as my disciple, because offense leads to something. Look, it says, many will be offended and then they shall betray. So offense turns into betrayal. And once they betray one another, they shall start hating one another. So my little offense turns into me betraying somebody, that which becomes hate in my heart. Watch this. And then it says, because you're offended and you've betrayed what you thought or the love that you have or your Christian faith, and then you start to hate a group of people or hate a person that hurt you or anything, then you start listening to false prophets. So, because anybody who's offended wants to have agreement. So you start listening to people who aren't sharing God's word with you. They're false prophesying over you. It's okay to be mad at them. They deserve blah, blah, blah. And that's why it's very careful. You got to be very careful not to just listen to people who have large platforms, because people who are offended around the same thing are the people who gave them that big platform. If your platform is not centered on the word of God, you better be careful what you're listening to and who you're listening to. But you can be in an offense thinking you're right and it's all false. But that's what happens. Offense turns into betrayal. Betrayal turns into hate. Hate turns into listening to false prophets that rise up. And then you shall deceive many. So the constant faith being built in the wrong thing lands you in deception. And now I'm deceived. Now I'm going around telling other people it's all good to be like this. Now I'm making statements like, this is just the way I am. Take it or leave me. Don't your Bible say to love everybody? We start taking pieces without the principles. And it says, and because iniquity, the inward heart posture, shall abound. This is the problem. This is the devastation of offense. It ends up in the love of many waxing cold. It's the heart. When your heart grows cold, then you stop caring about everybody. An offense is the thing that leads you to a cold heart. Alexa, cue Icebox by Omarion. Some of y'all too young for that. But he says, there's an icebox where my heart used to be. Literally, for many people, that's what happened because of offense. You no longer have a heart of compassion, a heart of joy, a heart of love. It's because you let offense turn into deception, which then made you go and listen to false prophets and all of these things, hate in your heart, and now your heart is cold. And the reason why this is a problem, I told you I'm gonna teach you today. The reason why this is the problem is because Jesus says, look at this, in John 13:35, this is, again, going back to the plan, agenda, and tactic of the enemy. He said, by this is Jesus talking, everyone will know you're my disciples if you what? Love one another. The enemy's whole plan is to offend you to the point where you have a hard heart that you will no longer love, because it's the only proof that we actually know him. So when you go around telling people, F them, and you don't mean Forgiveness University, when you mean that and it's in your heart and you no longer care about people and you throw people away and there's no mercy for anybody and all of that other stuff, the enemy is sitting back with all of his demons and imps saying, yes, we got him. We put our plan into place. And we got them to be divided. We got them to be distracted. We got them to actually fall for the offense. And now we win. Let me show you a real picture of this. See, offense starts very, very small. Offense starts with one thing. Bring me an offense real quick. Not that. Just bring me a piece of an offense, please. Like an offense, it's one of those things that you forgot my birthday. And this is what it is. But you've known me too long. You actually know how much my birthday means to me. So no, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna dig into that one. And it's all good, because I got space to roam and be used by God and be able to walk around in my purpose and come to church and hallelujah, glory to God. And some of you guys are in marriages right now, and the offense has come because you ain't talked to me right and your tone was wrong and we're offended. But it's okay, because we can still act like we love each other and still be married and still be able to jump in and out of having good days and bad days. So what we do is we learn to live with the offense. But the thing about it is, then other things happen, because I work at a job where I'm the only black person there, and they say little racist remarks all the time, talking about, oh, you like watermelon, don't you? Oh, y'all gonna act like this ain't real stuff that's happening? Don't you play basketball? You're tall and black, huh? Okay. My white people are like, do they really do that? You pastor that big old church over there? Wow, you must know some really good people. Huh? Yeah, don't you ever come to this really nice church. I'm offended. Now, what happens if they're in a state where they've been offended, so they offend others, and now I'm offended by what they said? Now, this multi-ethnic, multi-generational church, all I want to put on the outside of the building is Black Lives Matter. Because now my offense, see, your offense does not take into consideration your authority or your platform. So when you get offended, you bring your whole self to everything that you are. This is why, as believers, we gotta watch what we let offend us. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it sucked. Yes, it's frustrating. But if you do not check the offense at the door, what you begin to do is build a barrier to your purpose. See, and some of it started when we were young. Some of it started when we were older. But then what ends up happening is, remember I said last week, offense is either picked up, these are all picked up offenses, or offense is either put on. Yeah, and there are many people right now that are walking in pain and frustration where the offense was put on them. My daddy left me. My brothers and sisters didn't treat me right. Everybody in my family keeps leaving me out. And for some reason, I had some offenses that I picked up. And I thought I could function with these. But then there were some offenses that were put on. There's some things that I didn't know was gonna happen. There was a molestation that happened when I went to my cousin's house that I didn't even know was gonna be. I just wanted to watch cartoons. And now it feels like the walls are closing in on me. It feels like the offenses that I picked up now have company with offenses that were put on. But you still feel good, because you can fake it. You can get out of it once in a while. You can act like it's okay. I can't love nobody over here, and I can't trust nobody over here. But as long as I got a little access. And that's what happens. Then I get a friend who they said they would never tell anybody what we did that night in Vegas. They know what it says. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And that fool gonna tell everything that we did at the Mirage Hotel. And I end up losing the girl that I thought was gonna be my wife, because you gonna go ahead and tell her, and I'm offended. Now, he's offended over the truth. I got to stop and pause right here, because some of us are offended over things that we should have been caught for. We're offended over our offense. We're offended over us doing something wrong to somebody. They found out, and then we want to blame the person who accidentally, like, what are you talking? Deception. Let me go back to the scripture. It says that many shall be offended, then they shall betray one another, then they will hate one another, then they'll start listening to false prophets, and false prophets come through music too. Your favorite rapper, R&B singer, rock star, country singer, pop star may be your false prophet. It may be the images and the idea that agree with your offense. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God if you want good faith, but hearing whatever you want to hear if you want your faith to grow in that. And then it says, then many will be deceived. And so I'm only now because this friend told the freaking truth on me, F you. Now I'm only going to align myself with people who do the same type of stuff. Come on. And so now I'm offended because my kids, they don't check on me how they were supposed to. And I'm their mama. I did everything for them. And now I'm going to walk in this offense. And that church I was at last time, who didn't use my gifting and talent, the pastor talk about he want us to be in our purpose. But my purpose is the praise and worship leader. And they didn't use my song or even listen to it. I'm offended. And so at the next church I go to, I'm going to make them find out who I am. I'm so offended that I'm going to this next church. I ain't going to give. I ain't going to sow. I ain't going to do nothing but sit. And I'm going to make them prove to me that I should be a part of their church. Oh, you don't think we don't get emails like that? But it ain't us, it's the offense. And slowly but surely, the offense is starting to build a prison of unforgiveness. I'm going to say it one more time, because this is the picture of many of our lives. And you're going to Target and looking cute and shopping on Etsy, and you're flossing in front of your boys, and you making it happen at soccer practice, and you doing all these great things while God sees you like this. Everybody else sees you doing everything that you can do, but he knows there's levels that he can't take you to because of the offense that you'll try to bring with you. And then there's an offense that happens that we didn't see coming. Like the offense, I don't know, for me, like 2020 has been really offensive. Can I get some hands in the chat of anybody who's been super offended in 2020? Come on, by coronavirus, that is offensive. By all the racial injustice, that is offensive. Or on the other side, saying that you have white privilege, that is offensive. All of these things, from the political party to the people who are dying, to what color people are wearing, and these movements that are happening, and the job loss, I am offended. I cannot stand 2020. Why did 2020 happen to me? And what ends up happening is 2020 has barbed wire around it. And it may not be 2020 for you. It could be whatever you want it to be for you. Like, but what you don't understand is that now the situations in my life have only left a little space for me to be used by God. It's only left a little space for me to actually pray and hear from God. A little space to get a song from heaven. Just a little space. Because everything else has kept me trapped in the prison of unforgiveness. And now, You gonna tell me that I need to pray for the president? You must be crazy. Oh, no. My offense fell. See, because some offenses you work hard to keep up. Uh-oh. No. No, I'm not letting that go. I remember what they did to me. And now the space, I feel the presence of God. The space for me to be used by God is getting smaller and smaller. And what ends up happening is that we cry out, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. He said, could you take down some of the offense so it'd be easier for me to use you? I can't even take you into a white boardroom, because as soon as you walk in there and see that everybody's white, your offense will keep you from the purpose I sent you in there for. Ah! I'm just saying, I don't know what your offense is, but I promise you it's keeping you from your purpose. And then the offense comes. Because I did make a mistake. And I did watch the pornography. I did it. But I never forgave myself. And now probably one of the worst offenses that you can make is making an offense against yourself. And you offend. That's why sexual immorality, y'all know what the Bible says about that. It's the only sin that offends you. Like, the reason why you can't just Netflix and chill and sleep with anybody is because you can get out of climaxing and have some more offense. Was it worth another board? Was it worth being further out of destiny and purpose? And now, this is what most of the church looks like. We look like Wilson from Home Improvement. Y'all remember that show? We look like Wilson trying to do the will of God, trapped in the prison of unforgiveness. And so what ends up happening in this moment is God sends somebody into my life to love. Hey, Charles, I need to mentor you. God sent you here so that I can mentor you. Hey, but only stay that close, because the last dude I mentored, they left me. And I'm still offended over what they did. So hopefully we can hug like this. Hopefully I can be transparent like this. Hopefully you get what you need. Because I'm still locked up in the prison of offense. And now I'm going to send you to your next assignment unprepared, because I wasn't able to let go of the offense of somebody who wasn't even you.
Come on. Wow.
But God, however you want to use me.
Wow.
Whatever you want to do with me, Lord. And people aren't able to even see the real you because of who and how you're offended. And then God sends somebody in my life. He sends somebody in my life, Pastor Tommy. He sends somebody in my life that's supposed to be a father figure. Because I grew up without my daddy. And so then when they try to correct me, no, y'all both come up here. Mentorship. I need to be mentored and fathered. And the problem is they only can get a piece of me. Hopefully, yeah. You just got cut, Pastor Tommy? That's I get lethal sometimes. When people don't, I don't have grace for people that much anymore, because I'm offended still. And so when people don't do what they say, then I'm just very harsh with them. I'm sorry for the barbed wire and the caution tape. Hopefully we can live a pure relationship and have a pure relationship. But I'm still very offended. And some of the offense I created, and others of the offense was put on me, but I'm still trapped. And then, Amberlee, God sends somebody that I'm supposed to hire God, I'm leading this huge organization. I need some people of diversity and ethnicity because God, it's not about what we do on Sunday mornings. It's about what's in the back room and in the boardroom. And so if we're actually going to be a multi-ethnic church, we gotta have people there. So God, just send the right people. George Floyd happens. And on the same day, I'm interviewing you for an executive team member position. So when God answers your prayer, but you're offended, I need to talk to somebody. What happens when he sends the right thing, but because of my offense, I now think it's the wrong package? And I want to be able to forgive white people, Amberlee, and I want to be able to hire you, but I just don't know. I don't know. And if I let my offense, oh, snap, it's cutting up my clothes. It just cut my finger. Are you telling me that the very walls that I put up to defend myself can end up harming me? Are you telling me that what served me in one season can now damage me in another? I'm preaching right now. Are you telling me the offense that I hold on to from my family and my big mama and my cousin, that offense can now become the prison that hinders my purpose? My prayer for you is that no longer will we be trapped in the prison of offense. I speak by the power of the Holy Spirit that through this series, the grace of God is about to come to your life, and piece by piece, you're about to start tearing out the offense. And piece by piece, you're going to say, I forgive you, Dad, and I forgive you, coworker, and I forgive you, person that cut me off, because you need freedom from all unforgiveness. Somebody, I feel it so strong that something's beginning to well up on the inside of you because you thought you were going to be forced to live in this prison for the rest of your life. But baby, I came to tell you that there is grace for you, that there is grace for everything you've walked through. There's grace for everything that's been put on you and that you picked up. Somebody's about to get free in this place. I feel the presence of God, that my offenses will no longer be my prison. If you believe it, say, somebody say, I'm getting free. Somebody say, I'm getting free. Somebody say, I'm getting free. That's why we can't be offended. That's why we gotta lay down and cast down our offenses. The crazy thing about it, though, is even though everybody started shouting and everybody started rejoicing, after today, you can go right back into this prison and start picking up more offenses. I'm just trying to tell you, this is why it is a fundamental of the faith. Because even if all of these go away, they can all come back. One post, one lie, one misunderstanding, and I'm picking up another offense. And today God is saying, I needed them to see the prison of offense has to be something that's, watch this word, a lot of church people don't like to say, managed. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you manage your offenses, because they will keep you trapped in places that God never wants you to be. Can I give you a couple of scriptures on offenses? Proverbs 18:19. It says, a brother offended, everybody say offended, is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. When you get offense between the people that you're supposed to love, it says it's fortified. It becomes what I just displayed for you, a prison. It is stronger than walls around a city. It is unyielding. That's why people die and they're at the burial or the open casket talking about how much they forgive and they want, and they had decades to deal with the offense. That's why I'm begging you to walk in forgiveness. It's not for the person outside of this. It's for you that's trapped inside of this. And God says, I want to tell you to go to the nations, but offense. A fence has been created by your offense or offense. And today I'm asking you, could you put your fence under construction? That's what the rest of this series is going to be. My fence, my offense is under construction. I'm pulling up stuff and I'm laying it down. How can I do that, Pastor Mike? Because there was a man 2,000 years ago that took every offense and he put it on a cross. And because I would offend him and you would offend him, I ain't never offend God. Read the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Some people have walked in alternate sexual lifestyles. Other people have cheated on their wives in their heart, but not with their hands. Other people have told little white lies, which there is no such thing. But God took all of the offense of humanity. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and put all their offense on me. And the offense of racism and the offense of political lies and the offense of a family member, I'm going to take every one of them. And I'm going to die on the same tree that makes fences. I'm going to die on the same wood. I just want them to have a reference all the time that every offense you could build, I died on the same thing so that you could walk free from offense. And today, what Christ did for us and how he dropped the offense that we made, he's asking you to just do the same thing he did for you. Drop the offense. And I know that's hard. I know that's going to hurt for a long time. And you don't know how you're going to do it. That's why I'm here. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and in God's word, we're going to figure out how to let go of offenses and walk in forgiveness. Because I need you to write this point down. Offense builds the prison of unforgiveness. And I just see hundreds of thousands of people right now. You're trying to move around in a contraption like this. And God is saying, give it to me. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Mike? We got to go back to the fundamentals. We got to get in the Word of God. Well, how many times am I supposed to forgive? This is one thing that you got to understand. When Jesus said 70 times 7, it wasn't about keeping score. It was about losing count. He said, forgive like 70 times 7. How much is that? Like, hold on. Was that my 332nd time forgiving or my 300? He's like, I want you to lose count. I want you to get in such a habit or for it to become a fundamental that when the pressure of life is on, when everything's on the line, you go back to forgiveness. I don't even know how I got in this. Oh, but I'm going to forgive. They don't deserve, but it's a fundamental. Because I've experienced it, I'm going to give it away. So you got to get in the Word of God. Look what Proverbs 19:11 says. I'm going to leave you with this. Good sense makes one slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook an offense. What? You're walking in glory when you let an offense go. God, show us your glory. He says, show me your glory. Show us your glory, God. He said, I'm asking you the same thing. If you would overlook them forgetting about you, you messing up that one time, you not being the father you were supposed to be, but now you're trying to be. If you would let go of that offense. That's why we got to put our offense under construction. Why, Pastor Mike? My last point. Because every one of these things that I've built, offense is always changed from the inside out. I can't tear these down from the outside in. I gotta do it from the inside out. Now there's more room to roam. Now there's room to have change. Oh, but this is where community comes in. See, I've built offenses. I need my community. I need community to come in. And what I say is, hey, I did the wrong thing, but I need you to help me roll this out of my life. Hey, I really thought I was going to be able to hold this stuff, but I need y'all to get this stuff and help me. I need to confess to you. Amberlee, I need to confess to you. Yeah, I almost tripped over my offenses because I almost wanted to put it back up again. But I need to confess to you that I do talk about white people, but I don't want to anymore. I need to confess to you, Charles, that the last person that hurt me no longer is in my life, so I'm not going to hold you responsible for what they did. And what ends up happening is now we get in a space where we can really say, if you can use anything, Lord. Anything you want to do, I'm available. I have nothing keeping me in no more. It did hurt. It did define a moment of my life, but no longer will I stay in this place of having built the fence of offense. The prison of unforgiveness will no longer keep me in. I'm going to walk in my purpose. If that's you right now all over the world, I feel the presence of God moving right now. Somebody needs to say, God, I'm available to you. Or that just needs to be your desire right now. Lord, I'm available. I want to be available. You're going to have to help me tear down the fence of offense. You're going to have to help me get out of this prison of unforgiveness. But God, it's what I desire. I want to be available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Somebody needs to make this your prayer. Said, my will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, I don't want to stay like this, God. Said, my storage is empty and I am available to you right now all over the world. If that's your prayer, that you know that you are in a prison of offense right now, whether it be with people you're in the room with, people that you haven't seen in decades, or people you're going to go to work with tomorrow, or people that you even birthed out of yourself. If there's offense and you want prayer, you want God to start that thing in your heart right now that allows you to begin to lay down the offenses, I want you to lift your hands. Yeah, right now in your home, in your car, watching on rebroadcast, lift your hands right now. I'm about to pray that God will begin a deep work in your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, lifted hands all over this world. I declare and I believe that you are giving us the ability to lay down the offenses. Holy Spirit, the offenses hurt. These things have defined us for years. Father God, but today I'm asking by your Holy Spirit that you would begin to tear down the walls that we picked up and the walls that were put on us in the name of Jesus. I declare that the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross gives us all the ability to let it go. And God, I'm asking you, not that we would be able to forgive yet, but Father, you'd give us the desire. For some of us, Father God, we haven't even had the desire. And today, that seed was planted. And I serve notice on the enemy that you will not be able to steal the seed that went in today. That forgiveness will be the fruit of this seed. God, we come to you saying that we want to be available. There's people listening right now that you've never given your life to Christ. You've never received forgiveness, so it's very hard for you to forgive somebody else. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to make the greatest decision of your entire life. I want you to be able to give your life fully to Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Mike, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've done it. And God said, I know. I know what you've done. I was there when you did it. And he said that I have taken and paid, released you of that debt. And today all you have to do is receive it. So all over the world, it's the one greatest decision I ever made. It's the thing that took me from a manipulator, a liar, somebody who was addicted to pornography. And it turned me not into a perfect man, but a progressing man. And today God's saying, I'm giving you the same opportunity. You don't got to clean up and change everything. He said, that's what I'm for. I'm the great physician. If you'll give me your heart, I'll help you change your habits. And today God wants to give you the gift that he paid for so long ago. And that's the gift of salvation. If you're saying, Pastor, I want to be included in this prayer. Because the Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you are saved. Then we start the journey. But your eternity is secure. But now we're going to walk out your earthly life in a way that literally gives him glory. Today, if you're saying, Pastor, add me into that prayer. I want to give Jesus Christ my life. I don't just want him to be Savior. I want him to be Lord. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And for Transformation Church, y'all already know. Nobody prays alone. All over the world. In England, in Australia, in North Tulsa, in Mississippi, in Minnesota, in New York, in Dallas, there's people all over the world that's about to agree with you in prayer. So I want all of us to say this prayer together for the benefit of those that are coming to Christ. Everybody say, Lord, today I give you everything. My offenses, my hurt, and my pain. You can have it all. I believe that you lived and you died just for me. And today, I give you my whole life. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, oh, let me help you. If you just prayed that prayer, the Bible tells us that all of heaven is turning up right now. And everybody in this room is turning up right now. And everybody around the world is giving God praise for just one person that came to Christ. We want to help you walk this out. If you prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, I'm so excited for you because everything in your life has an opportunity to transform. What I want you to do is I want you to text the number that's on the screen right now. And when you text that, we're going to give you some information and we're going to help you walk this out because this is a journey. What I'm asking you to do is come back next week because everybody else here is going to come back next week because next week I'm going to give you practical steps on forgiveness, like how do I do it? And today, I just feel offenses beginning to be laid down all over the world. I'm so proud of you. And Transformation Nation, you have officially made it through week two of Forgiveness University. Go on, give yourself a hand clap. Many of you will need to go back and study this for extra credit. Many of you, these last two sermons, all they were to do was to till the ground of your cold heart. See, if anything is going to change in you, you have to be moldable. You have to be pliable. And so I had to do these first 2 weeks so we could get you to next week. Share this with everybody you know. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. No matter what happens this week, we are loved, we are called, we are chosen, and God is for us. So who can be against us? I love you. We're praying for you. Go out and live a transformed life. I love you.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now, go and live a transformed life.